Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Special treat for you, a returning guest. He hasn't been with us in a while, and shame on us for that, because Dr. Trevin Clough is an excellent guest, and he is even a better therapist, and I am very glad to have him on the program. Dr. Clough received his PhD from Auburn University, majoring in counseling education, with a master's degree from University of Mobile, specializing in marriage and family counseling. And we've had him on before, helping us understand psychology of money and how it affects our lives and our decision making. And he works with individuals of all ages, specializing in attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, interpersonal or family relations, anxiety, stress, depression, chronic pain. And you can get more information by going to his website or calling his telephone number in the 386 area code 428-4564. Dr. Clough, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back.
It's my treat, and I'm going to get on the couch over here, and you can just tell me how all this money stuff works. I know our topic today, you and I have discussed, is the psychology of debt or psychological debt. And, you know, you have an outstanding quote, so I'll let the listeners hear it straight from you. It kind of summarizes what you and I want to talk about today.
Yeah, the research sort of indicates that more money doesn't make us all that happy, but debt makes us miserable.
Put that one in your peace pipe and smoke it, ladies and gentlemen. That is a quote to live by, because from an anecdotal and my own experience in working with clients, Dr. Clough, the money's good. It certainly helps, but at some point it doesn't necessarily increase happiness. In fact, in many cases, it creates kind of this stress around protecting it and keeping other people from getting it. And people worrying about that. And then I've also seen situations that also validate strongly your commentary about debt making people miserable, where it just literally suffocates them. It just squeezes, it just sucks the life out of them.
Yeah, it's interesting. We can actually, if we look at sort of a bell-shaped curve, we can sort of predict how happy people are based on how much they owe.
Really? And is it how quickly or how steep is that curve? How much debt or how percentage or the feeling about debt, let's quantify it a little bit if we can. How steep is that curve with the increasing size of that mountain of debt?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of one of those deals where it starts to, you know, I mean, that's different because different people make different levels of money, but I think the best way to think about maybe that tipping point where it really stresses us out is when your perception of your future is impacted.
Okay.
A lot of our happiness is our ability to have pleasant thoughts about the future.
Oh, okay.
And if we think about what debt is, that is basically leveraging my future hours. And so when we see years and years and years of doing things we don't like doing to pay for something we already have, then we're not able to have pleasant thoughts about the future. So a huge part of our sort of diet of happiness is taken away from us.
It's almost like, as you were describing that, Dr. Clough, I'm in my mind, I'm envisioning that a person with it, when they see that out in front of them in their lifetime, it's almost like they can envision themselves becoming a slave to the debt and knowing that it's inexorable. They can't, it's almost like they can't avoid it, and it's just, it becomes their fate. And that's where I'm sure all those very uncomfortable feelings start to pour in.
Yeah, when we talk about big words, you know, the big well-being words, hope and excitement and freedom. You know, when we think about what debt is, those things that we have about thinking about us in the future with those things, we don't have access to those because they're just not realistic.
Very interesting. So the thing for people to be thinking about and to take from what you're sharing, Dr. Klo, is that, you know, as they think, of course, about their own money management and how they approach some of the decision-making that they make, you know, that these are things to bear in mind. And another excellent analogy or, again, example is there is a very, not that I have any experience at all with this, Dr. Klo, but I'll just use it as a hypothetical, that new car smell.
Yeah.
It goes right into our brain. We must have a special receptor, some of us at least, a special receptor in our brains that smell just smells extra good to us. Maybe like somebody else really likes the smell of chocolate chip cookies, but that new car smell is intoxicating. But there's another, of course, there's the back end of that we're going to then be on the hook for paying it off if it's the next 5 years or whatever it is. But at that moment of, you know, joy, unbridled joy of that new car smell, we don't think about the latter until later.
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned cars, and I think that's an interesting thing because I don't know about you, but I shop very differently for cars when I'm shopping with cash versus credit.
That's a great point because, and that, of course, enters into the whole consumer debt and, you know, the detachment from that, the pain. You talk about future pain. If you have to pull out, even a check is more connected than just signing your name to a credit application with payments that go out into the future. And, you know, it's just that there's that detachment, but it does come home to roost. And that's where people, you know, again, this is something for people to be aware of and to be mindful of. I think that's really the key point, is be mindful of all this.
Well, and it's also kind of interesting when we talk about, you know, an approach to paying off debt. It's interesting that we are happier paying down debt than we get from happiness from new items. We're happier paying down debt than we are putting money in savings. And so it's interesting in terms of happiness, buying down debt is actually a very good purchase in terms of happiness today.
Well, I can tell you that I have direct experience with that, and I know my wife and I talk about our family finances frequently, and that's just part of our ongoing, part of our, you know, deliberate communication, Dr. Klo, and nothing makes her happier than knowing that the debt is going down, that we're making, you know, that we're making a dent in our mortgage, and, you know, that we're doing the things that we're working to do to achieve our own personal goals. And it is a very good feeling. And I think that plays into where you started. It's that feeling of those handcuffs or those shackles starting to loosen, looking into the future and thinking, you know, the future does feel or look brighter. Therefore, today, I have a greater sense of contentment or peace of mind or, you know, whatever feeling that invokes in some, you know, in somebody's persona when they experience that.
But, you know, another factor that's kind of interesting is, you know, when we have debt, then, you know, there's sort of this fear of life that goes along with debt. And so some of the other things that provide happiness, like taking risks and being a little bit ambitious and creating new situations, turn down a lot of potential opportunities to enjoy life more because of that fear.
Mm.
It's the bird in the hand, two in the bush kind of thinking.
Right.
And we never chase the two in the bush because we absolutely need the bird in the hand.
Yeah, and I'd love to get a little more perspective from you on that, Dr. Klo. Let's grab a quick break. Dr. Trevin Klo is our guest today, and he is owner of Trevin Klo Counseling and the website trevinklocounseling.com. And it's T-R-E-V-O-N and then C-L-O-W, but the W in there, even though you don't hear it pronounced, trevinklocounseling.com. We'll grab a quick break and we'll come back and maybe dig a little deeper into the psychology of what makes some people more ambitious about risk-taking and versus taking the bird in hand or the two in the bush, as it were. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And we are back with Dr. Trevin Clough. Glad to have him back. And the website, TrevinClough.com. And I'm sorry, I got to get the counseling in there. TrevinClohCounseling.com. And don't forget the W. All right. So, Dr. Clough, I kind of set it up there before the break. Is there a, and this, of course, could be a three-hour response, and I don't expect a major dissertation from you on this, but I am curious. You know, there is a tendency for certain people that they may be less of a risk taker versus somebody else, and or also how, you know, their personal life experiences, their family, all those things factor into that bird in hand versus two in the bush, whether somebody is willing to take that risk.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe the simplest way to start out thinking about that is our opportunities for enjoyment, well-being, for having good thoughts about our lives, for happiness. If we have anxiety, then we don't have very many of those opportunities.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think the association there is the more debt we have, the more fear we have. The more fear we have, the less opportunities we have to have access to happy moments. And so, you know, I think a lot of people sort of stop at that level of change of risk taking. They don't even really consider it because it's not an option. I know what the next 2 years look like because I have, these are my bills.
Right.
It's my debt.
Well, so give us just a little bit of a, maybe a perspective here, Dr. Clough, on how do you help somebody think through that? I mean, is the answer just simply, well, that's where you are, that's where you should be, that's not something that needs to be tinkered with? Or is it more about whether somebody really wants to take those opportunities, they want to be more ambitious than they are, but they can't get there, then that's when you or somebody with your expertise and credentials helps them to work through that so that they can get where they want to be, where they can be who they want to be?
Yeah, there's certainly, I mean, as you know, this is kind of, you know, goal setting really helps because it sort of puts boundaries on things. But there's also a shift in perspective that I think can be helpful. You know, when we think about, you know, what dollars are, well, they're supposed to be sort of representative of our life energy. And so I get to spend this, I earn this, and I spend this. And I think that got a little bit messed up when money became abstract and there was no longer a good or a service directly delivered. In other words, I'm giving a service and then I get this note that says I earned this much life energy and then I get to go trade it for something. And when it became abstract, you know, digits in a computer even, then I think we lost touch with reality. One of my favorite, and so the answer to that is we can use logic to talk back to the instincts because the instincts about abstract money are bad.
Okay. Because of that, because of that detachment we spoke of.
Yes. Yeah. So the way that I think about that is, you know, one of my favorite pieces of research when they took people and before they opened their credit card bills, they asked them how much they thought they were. And these are reasonable people. And we as humans think that our credit card bill is going to be 30% less than it actually is.
Mm.
That's what we do when we make money abstract.
Wow. Wow. I didn't expect it to be that much this month. I didn't really spend anything. That's the answer I'm sure that echoes when people are getting their mail with that time of the month with their bill.
Yeah, and so we get, you know, I think there's some confusion about needs and you know, wants, and, well, I need it, and so here is my package of money in this little card, and, you know, obviously if it's not surrounded by goals and a budget, then we're likely to have deficits as a result of those instincts.
And then that's where, of course, we play into the debt building, and then there is that sickening feeling that people sometimes just simply kick the can down the road or even ignore it, and it really becomes an issue. And then the ironic thing, and I'm sure you have dealt with this, Dr. Klo, is that people don't feel, they get depressed about their debt, or they get depressed about their situation, and then what do they do as a way of feeling better? Well, they go shopping.
That's exactly right. You know, and when I talked about sort of a shift in mentality, I don't have data on this, but I think we feel different about our work when we're working in a state of debt.
Well, and I've actually had, you'll like this, I've actually had that conversation many, many times, Dr. Klo, where people have come in for like a pre-retirement plan building where here's what I've got. I'm thinking of retiring in the next, 6 months or 5 years, or it's on the brain and I'm considering retirement in my near-term future here. And we build a plan for them, and they, they can see how they're going to retire and where the money's going to come from. And you know what's really remarkable, and I'm sure you can put the proper terminology on this scenario or what's happening or this shift, is that all of a sudden, because they know they can retire, now their view of work changes, how they experience it and their perspective on it. It no longer is something they have to do, and so their attitude toward that work changes.
Yeah, we go back to our Mark Twain painting the fence thing. Anything that someone is obliged to do, they they don't like doing. I think that how we head into work, whether we're working for something we want or working for something that we wanted a long time ago, I think that changes how we feel that day.
Well, and there's also the attainment of goals. People set out a series of goals that they want to achieve, and then when the interesting thing, of course, is when they reach those goals, say that, for example, their financial goals, and then once they reach them, then it becomes, all right, now what, and what's the motivator, and do they then set new goals? Are they satisfied and everything's good, and they say, all right, I reached my goals, I'm good, now I'm going to, put my energies or interest into something else? Or do they then recalibrate, reset those goals even higher, and because the satisfaction now is not the same once they reach that point?
Yeah. No, it's funny, there's kind of a comedian had a joke based on that concept that I thought was really interesting. It stuck with me anyway. He said he went to work one day and there was a homeless man out there begging, and said, "We'll work for food. I'm broke." And he wanted to say back to him on his way into work, "You're not broke. You're even." I'm broke. You'll work for food. I'm working for food I bought in 1987.
Oh, boy. That's a great point. Well, I think this detachment thing really, coupled with the sheer weight, and it really is, I can speak to it personally, because when I left working for a company and I wanted to start my own firm, this is 18 years ago, Dr. Klo, I did that. I left the security and the financial well-being of having that steady paycheck to start my company, and it was not easy, and it required taking that risk and also taking on debt to get it going, and that feeling, it can really cloud your mind and cloud your ability to make great decisions about how to move your company forward. And it is a big time stressor for people. And it's something that people have to really think about. And that's why I'm so glad to have you on the program. And of course, people can reach out to you, Dr. Klo, and get on your schedule and spend some time talking with you. I know that you take insurances that you have, and you also have private pay, where people just pay you directly for the services you provide. Dr. Trevin Klo is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. And the website, Trevin Klo, put a W on it, counseling.com, 386-428-4564. Dr. Clough, we'll grab another quick break and we'll come right back. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Dr. Trevin Clough on the line with us. We appreciate his time today. And just to make sure there's no confusion out there, Dr. Clough doesn't just deal with debt counseling and trying to get people on track there. He does a lot of other things, including attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, interpersonal or family relations, anxiety, stress, depression, and chronic pain. So, Dr. Clough, I want to kind of come back full circle here to where people may be out there listening to this program. Let's, and this is really, I think, a key part for you to share with them, if you can, a little bit about if they are out there and they are really struggling with these feelings of depression and anxiety and stress and really in a bad place as it relates to their finances. You know, we can tell them to go and get credit counseling, but that's to treat the symptoms, the financial symptoms and the money part and the, you know, the numbers and dollars and cents and, you know, but to treat their mind, to treat their, the person, what do you say to them where they're in that and they're just down in a well and they feel the weight of the world on top of them? What are some of the things you would say to them to help them have some hope about what to do?
You know, money is just money. We know that quadriplegics and lottery winners resume just about the same level of happiness 6 months after the event. And so, you know, this perception that we have of it and what we think it will do for us or a lack of it won't do for us. The truth is, if we're not hungry or cold, then money doesn't buy us significantly more happiness. Small percentages, but, you know, the vast majority of people, the goal is to kind of have a liquid life. In one form or another, we're all renting our lives. And so I like to sort of talk existentially about thinking about, well, what's a good day look like? What do you need to have a good day? Okay, and let's work backwards and build your financial life based on what's a good fit for you and what do you need in your life to enjoy your life.
Excellent. You know, it's you'll appreciate this, Dr. Clough, because I know this is anecdotal and it's just been my experience, but I've never, ever had somebody come in and say to me, you know, doggone it, I just got too much money.
Right.
And in fact, very often I have people say, you know, if I only had this much more, and often it's another zero at the end of their net worth, if I only had an extra, you know, an order 10 times what I have, then life would be good and I could do the things I want to do and I wouldn't feel so stressed and be so worried.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. One of the psychological byproducts of making money an abstract concept, not concrete, this is representative of something else, is that the idea of enough goes away.
Mm.
We don't get the sense of enough for things that are abstract. When you make them concrete, and you put something in front of you, you can look at it and go, oh, wait, that's enough. But the brain doesn't do that towards things that are abstract.
Well, then, okay, that's an excellent way for us to wrap this up. How can people look at money more, not in a more concrete, non-abstract way? How's a good way to do that? Would it be a simple example, using cash to buy things?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we do shop differently with cash. You know, And tell me what you think. In my mind, I think that you sort of need two hands that have to work together. And on the one hand, you really do need practical life changes. There has to be a budget in one form or another. These are numbers and they don't change. And so if I could invent a way for people to feel better without actually changing the numbers, that would be great.
Yeah.
But along with that, I think there needs to be a perspective change. I think that, you know, capitalism offers so many wonderful things. One of the things that maybe the downside is that everything becomes a sales pitch. And as part of the sales pitch, everything is presented as a need.
Good point.
And so, you know, that perspective needs to change also.
Well, I tell you what, Dr. Clough, we really appreciate your coming on and helping us understand this. I know that your time is very valuable and that you are helping people by sharing with us today and reaching them and giving them some new perspective and give them hope. You know, you spoke about the big words and the ones that are powerful, and, you know, hope is a wonderful thing. Feeling like there is no hope, of course, is one of the worst of feelings. And so I'm glad to know that we have you as a resource. And for those of you that would like to sit down and talk with Dr. Clough, easy to do, easy to talk to, as you can tell. Dr. Clough's website is trevinclohcounseling.com. Don't forget the W in the middle. And the telephone number, 386-428-4564. Dr. Clough, it's a pleasure as always, and we'll do it again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.